Hello, and welcome to call number one in the Equity Rich Women Online teleseries. I'm Gina Bell, president of GinaBellInc.com and founder of IABO, the International Association of Women in Business Online, at IAWBO.com. And I'm so excited to be sharing my Equity Rich philosophies with you, and I promise to squeeze as much valuable content as I can during our time together today and throughout the entire series. This is call one of five, so it's really just the beginning. For those of you who are new to experiencing me, I want you to know that one of my success mantras is, I don't just do it, I really do it. So please relax and sit back, and I want you to feel good about this time that we're going to spend together today. You're going to have access to the recordings, so please don't feel pressured to take notes. You can even stay tuned to my blogs, both at iabo.com and ginabellinc.com, where I'll be posting the highlights of each call and where I'd love for each of you to share what you enjoyed most, any aha moments, and even any questions that you have that may come up. I've been a woman in business online since 2006, and the light bulb went on for me in a big way when I registered for Alex Mendozian's Teleseminar Secrets program. Yes, I am a TSS alumni, and I say that with a lot of pride. I really attribute much of the success that I've achieved online to Alex and his program, which I have to say is the best program that I have experienced in my entrepreneurial journey so far, and I've been an entrepreneur for over 18 years. I have experienced a lot of online success, at least when I was able to get out of my own way. You see, I've always considered myself to be a success-driven introvert, and if there was ever a type of person who can naturally self-sabotage, I'd say that it's this bunch. I was painfully shy in school, although I did excel often as a leader, so very interesting, but again, evidence of my success-driven introverted ways. If I was singled out by a teacher, for example, my eyes would tear. They would literally tear. My face would turn beet red, and my eyes would tear up. Very embarrassing. To add to my already horror that I felt when the teacher singled me out. And so, when you think about it, if you knew me then, really, it's astonishing as hell that I'm hosting this call today. What I want you to know is that if I can come this far, so can each and every one of you. If you've been to my blog, Gina Bell Inc., I believe it's posted as well at iabo.com, you may have already watched Kimberly's video. Kimberly Anglot is one of my VIP clients, and she is one of those people that I call an implementer. She's one of my VIP clients. And about a year ago, Kim was starting a business as a life coach, and she was going about it in a very traditional, what I would call a brick-and-mortar way. And she tried to leverage local entrepreneurial centers, but they just didn't understand what she was trying to create, and they actually even discouraged her, which is really unfortunate, rather than support or encourage her. And Kim was getting frustrated really fast. It's a good thing that Kim has some entrepreneurial friends, and she didn't realize that there was any other way to go about it until a mutual friend introduced her to me, that is. So today, Kim has an increasingly successful online business, a signature program called the Master Life Cleanse. She has profitable information products. She has a radio show that has enabled her to connect and even collaborate, do some joint ventures with other experts. It's enhanced both her visibility and her credibility in a big way. Kim has a responsive social media presence, and Kim was somebody who was very scared of things like Facebook and Twitter, scared of the stranger danger in connecting with people that she didn't know. So she's come a long way, too. She's got a blog site and where she... there's conversation going on there. It's not one of those blogs that never get any posts or comments or retweets. People are talking about the things that Kimberly is writing. She writes articles as well, so she has effective article marketing strategies that are driving traffic to that blog site. She recently increased her list by over 300%, hosting a virtual event, the Discover Your Authentic Life Telesummit. And I could go on listing even more of what Kim has achieved in a short year. Now, why am I telling you this? Well, I want you to imagine for a moment that it's New Year's Eve, December 31st, 2010, and you are celebrating. It's you that is thinking back over the year, completely astounded by your huge list of incredibly cool accomplishments. I'm wondering, you know, what kinds of things would be on your list? And have you thought about what you'd love to see happen this year? And here's a question I really want you to think about today. Have you decided to make it happen? Would you like 2010 to be the year you look back and truly astound yourself? If you take nothing else from this call today, I want you to remember this. When you let go of the how and decide to make it happen, the how suddenly emerges. It's very cool, really. Seriously, you know, we live in a world where information is at our fingertips. We can search through Google. We can go onto YouTube and find videos that show us exactly how to do things. We can simply search the internet. We can find out the how. But none of that matters until you decide that this is the year you will do what it takes to make your dreams a reality. And there's nothing more that I would love for you than that. If you like the idea of all that Kimberly has accomplished, if you want to experience a year like that and look back New Year's Eve celebrating all of your accomplishments, I want you to know that you're exactly in the right place. Maybe you have that knowing. I had this, you know, and you'll know if you have it. You have this knowing that you're on the verge of something big, but you're not sure how to make it happen. You're in the right place, absolutely. And remember, the how is not as important as deciding. And here's one more thing. You know, if you've ever thought beyond your business, to a time when you may not be here, wondering how your family might benefit from your brilliance, you're in the right place. You know, creating a business that can continue to prosper with or without you is definitely part of an equity-rich approach to success. So what is this equity-rich thing that I keep talking about? To provide some perspective, I want to talk quickly about equity on its own. What is equity? And to get an idea of this, I want you to think of an investment, you know, perhaps purchasing a piece of property. For easy illustration and easy math, we'll say that the property was purchased for $1,000. A year later, the value of the property is $1,700, creating $700 worth of equity in that property. So the dictionary describes equity in this way, as the value of a piece of property over and above any mortgage or liability relating to it. So that's in a nutshell a very, very simple way to describe equity. So now I want you to start to shift that thinking from, you know, investments to your own business. When it comes to an online business, there are many ways that you can create equity, from how you leverage your intellectual property to developing information products, the relationships you develop and strengthen. We call this social equity, and even through your business model, especially your business model. The reality is that most equity-rich businesses incorporate multiple business models, and some examples are service-based, membership-based, information marketing, to name a few. Those are all business models. And the key word that I want you to remember today is leverage, and this is the first key to creating a wildly successful equity-rich business online. When you develop an equity-rich mindset, it becomes a lens through which you can view your business and your life. Decisions and next steps become easy to identify because if this thing that you're considering, this thing that you're thinking about doing, can't be leveraged to develop equity in your business or to create additional value, if it doesn't increase the value of your business in some way, or if there isn't a way to leverage it in the future, it becomes really easy to say no. An equity-rich woman in business knows how to leverage what I call catalyst strategies. This goes back to that core philosophy that I shared with you at the start of the call, which is, why just do it when you can really do it? What is a catalyst? It's an accelerant. It's a strategy or element of your business that increases the speed of your success. Knowing how to create and leverage catalyst strategies is key number two to enjoying a wildly successful equity-rich business online. I'll give you an example. So if we go back to 2006, when I took Alex Mandozian's Teleseminar Secrets course, every year Alex's students participate in a challenge, and the goal is for the students to host a teleseminar. Most of Alex's students know what a teleseminar is. They've listened to them, but they've never hosted one, and that was exactly the place that I was. But Alex is a wise teacher. You know, he knows that there's a big difference between learning how to host a teleseminar and actually doing it. Most of our learning comes from the doing. Excuse me, I just need to take a sip of water. Okay, so I was just talking about how Alex is a very wise teacher indeed. So I started to map out my teleseminar idea, and my don't just do it, really do it mindset emerged with an even bigger idea. So instead of hosting one teleseminar, my mindset said, why not host a teleseminar series? So my very first teleseminar was actually a preview call for an entire teleseminar series. It was the first Networking Masters Telesummit that we held during International Networking Week, and today I have many teleseminars and telesummits and teleseries under my belt from both the host and the guest side of that coin. As you can imagine, the impact that I was able to create and the amount of leverage that was involved in a teleseries compared to a single teleseminar was 100 times, if not more, what I would have experienced had I hosted just one teleseminar. At the time, I didn't fully understand the joint venture component either, but all in all, we added hundreds of subscribers to our very first list, almost 1,000 from one event. A virtual event like this and various forms of joint ventures are just two examples of catalyst strategies. Now, this is a great time to address key number three to a wildly successful equity-rich business, and that is clarity. Your authentic definition of success, including your why, clarity in your niche, clarity in your message, clarity in your brand, your goals, and so on. Nothing I do is for the fluff factor, and I really try to get my clients to look at things that way as well. You know, everything is simple but strategic. Getting clear and focused, it's a common topic, particularly this time of year. It's a common piece of advice, and that's for a reason, because it is essential. And it is a foundational piece of the equity-rich puzzle. You know, without true clarity, your ability to leverage and your ability to create true equity is, well, it's almost impossible. It would be like hosting a virtual event for dentists when the niche that you truly want to serve is women entrepreneurs, for example. When I talk about clarity with my clients, it's the area that makes the most sense being needed. They understand the why they should be clear, but it's the area that many struggle with the most. I'm a multi-passionate entrepreneur, so for me this part was really hard until I realized that I didn't have to do just one thing. And doing more than one thing doesn't mean that you don't have clarity. It just means that you need clarity around more than one niche, possibly more than one passion, and so on. Now, key number four to a wildly successful equity-rich business online is your relationships. One of my primary areas of expertise is relationship marketing. And one of my favorite concepts to teach is social equity. My ability to develop and leverage this key that's relationships, it has a great deal to do with why I'm able to move forward quickly and with such confidence. Social equity is simply the standards and mutual value of your personal and social relationships. And the key to positive social equity is the element of mutual benefit. And that might bring up a question is, you know, can you have negative social equity? And yes, you can. Yes, you absolutely can. And it reminds me of an episode of Grey's Anatomy. Those of you who know me well know that I'm a huge fan of Grey's Anatomy. And in this one episode, there was a doctor, Mick Steamy, who was schmoozing up all the nurses, and they all started to figure out his maybe less than ethical ways. And the nurses actually started to strike. They started a strike. So this situation that Dr. McSteamy had created was now affecting the entire hospital. Eventually, he knew that it had to end. It was getting really painful and really ugly. And he went to Dr. Miranda Bailey and asked her if she would please talk to the nurses on his behalf because he didn't have any social equity left with them. There was no longer any mutual benefit to their relationships. And the nurses, you know, there was no way that he could have, he didn't have any influence on them anymore. So Miranda Bailey stepped in, and thankfully everything got back to normal very quickly. So yes, you can have negative social equity. So I want you to remember that. And that key to positive social equity is this element of mutual benefit. When your social equity is high, when it's positive, the people within your network truly care about you and your success. And you care about theirs. This, you know, there's a great deal of mutual benefit. And as a result, transitions are much easier to manage because it's easy to garner support in many areas. And when I say transitions, that also includes that decision to make 2010 the best year ever. When you have this element of positive social equity, this community, these relationships are responsive in that, you know, for example, they read and they comment on your communications. They are loyal in that they stay around as you and your companies grow and evolve. So those, you know, those of you who are on this call that have known me since I first started online, there was a time where I was best known as the networking maven, as co-founder and creator of thenetworkingmasters.com, host of the annual Networking Masters Telesummit, and so on. But I have evolved. I've evolved and grown, and there are a lot of you that have stuck with me. And, you know, and when you have this element of positive social equity, these people, they care about what you do, who you really are. You know, they notice, and it really matters to them. So now, you know, and I want you to think about your own network. And does what I've said so far, does that describe your network? When you have a relevant, responsive, loyal, and caring network like this, it's almost impossible to fail. I like to call positive social equity an insurance policy for your success. When you have this, it's so much easier to bridge the gaps, to find out information, to garner support, to have other people make introductions for you, to create joint ventures, and so on. It really becomes another catalyst to that speed of success that we were talking about a few minutes ago. But the diversity of your network is equally important. There are specific relationships that I want you to think about that are essential to creating long-term success. For example, if your current network is predominantly customers or prospective customers, there may be some critical gaps that you might want to consider. And I'm going to give you six types of relationships to think about that, you know, in addition to your network of prospects and customers, that you should spend time developing some high social equity with, and why. So the first one is your friends and family, who, you know, and not just all of them, but the ones who get what you do. What I mean by get what you do is that these are friends who support versus sabotage your success. And when you share your plans and your ideas, they, you know, even if they don't understand, they fuel your excitement rather than burst your bubble. They don't look at you with that deer in the headlights stare, and they don't look at you like you're absolutely crazy. They don't make snide comments about your, you know, the direction that you're moving in. relationship number two that I want you to think about is, who are your mentors? Mentors are needed to inspire you and lift you to new heights of success. Mentors give us possibilities. We can look at our mentors and see all of the cool things that we can potentially accomplish. We can look at the world almost through their eyes, through their accomplishments. And it can really keep us motivated, particularly when we, you know, there are times where maybe we're ready to throw in the towel. So building some social equity with mentors, keeping them in your radar is absolutely critical so that they can continue to lift you to new heights of success. Relationship number three would be coaches. A coach can teach you and motivate you to keep growing and moving forward. Having a coach, in my opinion, if you want to experience long-term, high-level success, a coach is something that you are going to want to consider at some point. And if you were one of the people when I said that, you know, do you have that knowing? That knowing that you are on the verge of something big, that, you know, that collection of people, if you are one of them, if you're saying, yes, I did, I feel it, I can feel it in my bones, then I would suggest that you strongly consider having a coach going into 2010 if you don't already. And that, you know, I'd love to be your coach, but it does not have to be me, but somebody to help you get to that next level, to do it with less struggle, and to do it faster than you ever could alone. And I remember having a conversation with Kimberly. I was talking with you about her earlier in her videos on my websites. Kimberly was telling me that she's absolutely convinced that what she accomplished in this last year would have taken her 5 years or more if she was trying to figure it out on her own, if she ever would have gotten there. She might still be trying to figure out how to make it work in a traditional, local, brick-and-mortar way. So I wanted you to think about that as well. The fourth kind of relationship that I want you to think about is masterminds and or associations of like-minded and motivated people that are moving in the same direction, people that you can connect with, collaborate with. A mastermind or belonging to an association that provides ways that you can connect and mastermind is absolutely critical, particularly if they are this like-minded and very motivated type of person that you can communicate with, because they also they'll hold your feet to the fire. They will call you on your stuff when they can be that lens of possibility for you in times when you can't see it for yourself. I love being part of masterminds, and it is absolutely amazing some of the hurdles that I have been able to personally overcome just simply because I involved others in my success. I involved others in my goals, in what I was trying to accomplish. And there is really, it's almost magical what you can experience in this kind of environment. The fifth type of relationship, in addition to your customers and prospects, would be complementary experts or complementary service providers. Now, these are business owners or experts who share your target market, but they serve them in a way that is complementary to what you do versus competitive. These individuals or companies are perfect for things like co-promotion, collaboration, joint ventures, passing referrals, information, and more. A lot of these complementary service providers or experts can even provide you with survey data so that you can get to know your target audience. You can get to know your niche in a more intimate way, and that's going to help you strengthen your marketing and your message. And back to that clarity piece that we were talking about earlier. Okay, relationship number six would be industry experts. Industry experts, people who you might consider to be competitive. You know, they basically do what you do. These industry experts, though, can help you stay informed. They can help you to remain innovative. They can strengthen your expertise. Knowing what industry experts are up to can help you to really polish what you are doing and, you know, be more creative and innovative so that you're always growing and always improving. You know, a lot of energy is invested in the idea that we need to create something new, and that's not always the case. A lot of times, if we simply innovate, if we simply take a great idea and make it better, we can get to success that much faster. Coming up with new ideas, it's a lot harder than just simply being innovative and creative. So I want you to think about that as well. So as you build your own networks and you strive to develop high social equity, I want you to remember these seven types of what I call equitable relationships. And most importantly, I want you to remember the essential ingredient to creating positive social equity, which is mutual benefit. It has to be win-win. All right, so let's get back to these keys to being a wildly successful woman in business online with an equity-rich business. And number five is your business model. Now, we touched on this briefly at the start of the call. The business model or models that you select will either support or sabotage your success. And we're going to dig more deeply into this concept of business models during call number five on Thursday, February 4th. For now, I want to leave you with a bit of an assignment, which would be to take a look at the IABO website at iawbo.com. Now, IABO is what I would call an equity-rich business. According to most experts, IABO is a hybrid that combines membership-based, service-based, and information marketing business models. Most experts will recommend that you choose one business model to start with and focus on. But from an equity-rich catalyst perspective, this isn't always the best strategy. So until we can devote more time to really digging deeper into this concept or into this topic, I want you to take a look at that site or any other hybrid sites that you've noticed. You know, as I'm describing that to you, maybe you're already thinking of some that you already have identified that, you know what, so-and-so's site combines several business models. Maybe your own site combines several business models. So I want you to start thinking about that so that when we get to this topic and we can dig deeper, you can better understand why it's so important to be looking at your business structure, your business through your business models, from a perspective of developing an equity-rich business, a business that increases in value, a business that creates time and freedom because of the quality of leverage, a business that allows you to move quickly and achieve quickly because of catalyst strategies. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? And, you know, because of all of these things, I'm sharing exactly the keys to my own success here. I'm sharing the reasons why I have been able to not only take a totally new direction. I mean, a year ago, I was still the founder and president of thenetworkingmasters.com. I did not have Gina Bell, Inc. IABO was launched in October. The Networking Master still exists, but my passion shifted. And for some, it would have taken years to get refocused. Some people never would have switched. But, you know, I threw caution to the wind because I have high social equity. I know how to leverage. I have very, very cool catalyst strategies in my toolbox. I have that confidence from that social equity that I I can recreate in any direction that I want. And that's the kind of confidence, that's the kind of business that I want for you. So we're also going to be talking about developing an equity-rich mindset. Now, this is key number six, developing an equity-rich mindset. And that is exactly what I hope you can pick that up in what I'm sharing with you now that I have developed. I've developed an equity-rich mindset. I look at everything through this lens of my business model, you know, how my business is structured, this element of leverage and catalysts and the relationships that I've developed. And that is what I want for you as well. When, you know, the mindset piece is what empowers you to overcome the challenges that come up. And you will face challenges as a woman in business online. It's just the question is going to become, how quickly are you going to be able to move through them or over them or around them or under them? And as you get really good, as you really strengthen your equity-rich mindset, often you will be able to develop strategies that help you to steer clear of them entirely. Now, when I first launched IABO, I surveyed women in business online, asking them what their number one challenge to being successful in business was. Well, what was their number one challenge? And you might be able to relate to the top five, which are effective marketing, productivity, balance, so that whole work-life balance thing, navigating technology. And my, oh my, you know, this is in the top five, it's a big one, because being in business online means that we are committed to technology for the long haul. And challenge number five is cash flow. And, you know, what I discovered in my research is that there is a sixth, often undetected challenge that almost every entrepreneur has experienced. And, you know, everyone that I have talked to about this topic has a story, and it is the comparison trap. This comparison trap is often operating at a subconscious level, which is why it's sometimes undetected. And now I want you to be honest. You know, honesty is so critical to long-term success, being honest with yourself. So be honest with me, and I want you to think about this. How often have you observed other women, maybe celebrity gurus or other women who are maybe someone that you would consider to be your competition, someone who's doing cool things that you want to be doing, and how often have you observed them and thought to yourself or wondered, how does she do it? How in the world does she do it? Now, sometimes we look on with pure fascination, absolutely amazed by the seemingly effortless success the expert is creating. Other times, though, we ask this question out of frustration, watching and wondering, how can I create that kind of success too? And all too often, you know, we're left hanging without the foggiest idea of where or how to even start. Have you ever noticed or experienced what happens next? It's a bit of a domino effect. This how does she do it is a question that we've all wanted the answer to at one time or another. And each time we ask it or think it, we risk falling into that comparison trap. It's a knee-jerk reaction. And like I said, it often is happening at a subconscious level. But it's a knee-jerk reaction that we have to compare ourselves to that expert or to that person who is experiencing a higher level of success or a person who is creating things, doing things that you want to be doing. This knee-jerk reaction, it's not your fault. Like I said, it's It's a natural reaction and often occurs at a subconscious level. And the problem is that if you aren't able to identify what's happening, there's a domino effect. And sometimes it's not pretty. First, your inner critic, you know, that voice that we all have inside of our heads, it starts to throw a party. But it's not the fun kind of party. It's throwing a party that's celebrating the fact that you totally suck today, don't you? Next, as the negative voice in your head gets louder and the party's really getting underway, you begin to wonder if there's any truth to that. You doubt and second guess what you've done up to that point and everything that you were planning to do. Many entrepreneurs get totally stuck right there. That is a brick wall. And worse, yes, it can get worse. Sometimes we start to make changes from this place of comparison. We start to throw our ideas out the window. And the moment that we do, our authenticity gets left behind. We start to, quote, unquote, model success the only way that we know how to, which is to emulate and copy. So in other words, to do what they do. And, you know, maybe, you know, some of you are probably already seeing how slippery the slope is. And it all starts with two very innocent questions, which is the how does she do it? And how can I do it too? And now these aren't negative questions. It's that knee-jerk reaction. It's that tendency that we have to compare and then make decisions from that comparison mode. And while we may experience some degree of success by doing the copying thing, it's usually very short-lived, and we're not fulfilled by it because it came from comparison and not your passion. You feel like something's missing. Something doesn't feel right. You no longer have passion, and that's because your authenticity was sacrificed in the process. You know, model success is one of those common pieces of advice that you get as an entrepreneur, aside from, I think, the number one piece of advice that I've personally received is that you've got to get out there and network. If you want more business, you've got to get out there and network. You know, one of the other top ones is definitely, you know, find someone who has done what you want to do and do what they did. Model their success is like one of the number one pieces of advice we get as entrepreneurs. But nobody tells you how to model success. And knowing about this comparison trap and knowing that we have this tendency to compare ourselves, the results can get really ugly. This comparison trap is why the clarity piece that we were talking about is so important. Clarity ensures that you steer clear of it. You know, if you do find yourself there, you snap out of it fast. It's also one of those things, you know, as a coach, I'm able, you know, I'm very intuitive, and often I can see this in my clients before they've ever realized that they're doing it. Now, you know, I want you to ask yourself a couple of questions here as we get, you know, to the end of our call. I want you to ask yourself if you have been stuck or frustrated in this way, maybe even based on a definition that doesn't support you. Maybe you have been trying to model success, and you, as I was talking there, you recognized that, you know what, I have been comparing, and I have been making, I have been making decisions from comparison mode. You know, are you having fun doing what you love to do? Are you getting noticed? And are you creating what I call good fortune beyond just money? You know, so are you creating the goodwill? Are you creating the social equity? Are you creating lifestyle and experiences beyond just making money? One of the greatest skills that I've developed is the ability to apply success and marketing principles to my business and life in an authentic way, so without copying, comparing, or competing with others. So I encourage you to revisit your own definition of success and why you became an entrepreneur in the first place. Have you been creating and making decisions that support your vision, not the life or lifestyle that you see celebrity gurus living? What is your vision of a successful life and business? Or, you know, have you strayed off course, perhaps due to a definition, like an interpretation of what success should look like and be like, or how you should be creating success that doesn't support you? And I want you to take a close look at this. You know, there's never a better time than right now to correct your course. You can course correct. All right, you know, as I said, I'm totally committed to providing great content. So I hope you enjoyed these six keys and have a better understanding of the common challenges that, as a woman in business online, we face, you know, from the marketing, the productivity, and those things. You will get access to the recording, so feel free to listen to it as often as you like. And I want you to share your comments and experiences on the blog. You can do that at either GinaBellInc.com or iaubo.com, I-A-W-B-O.com. And I want you to join me next Tuesday, January 26th. The call time is going to be 7 p.m. Central for call number 2 in this series, where I will be sharing 3 surprisingly simple secrets to creating the perfect equity-rich marketing plan and 5 irresistible marketing strategies every woman in business online must know and do. And again, I will squeeze as much content as I can. And I know I went a little bit over the 30 minutes, but being this is our first call and I'm so excited to be sharing these philosophies with you, I wanted to be sure that we got through these first few topics that I promised that I would share with you today. And, you know, for those of you who are success-driven, the success-driven woman that I tend to attract, and those of you who really resonated with the decision factor when we were talking about that ability for you to decide and not worry about the how. For those of you who want to learn a little bit more about the 2010 Equity Rich Women online programs, you can go to GinaBellInc.com/ERW, which stands for Equity Rich Women, ERW, GinaBellInc.com/ERW. And that page will tell you all about what I really want for you in 2010 and some options, some ways that you can make it happen, some ways that you can take that next step and decide that this is the year that you are going to make it happen, so that on December 31st, 2010, you can be celebrating like Kim was on December 31st, 2009. So with that, I want to thank you again for sharing this time with me, and I will see you next Tuesday, January 26th, for call number 2. And just stay tuned to your inbox. I will be sending you this recording and as well as dial-in details for Tuesday's call. Happy Friday, everybody.